Right now, for tonight's prayer meeting, I'll be sharing a short devotion based on Psalm 23, verse 5. Right? I'm sure we all are very familiar with the 23rd Psalm, right? It is only 6 verses long, and I think many of us have memorized it. But today, I'll just be focusing on this verse, verse 5, that says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." You know, this is actually one of my favorite verses from Psalm 23 because of the last four words of this verse. My cup runneth over, or my cup overflows. And you know, if you spend time to just meditate on these four words, like what I've done, you know, I would like to share with you, you know, three comforting truths that I have found in these four words, right? And the first truth is that the Lord is good to us. The second truth is that the Lord provides what we need. And the third is the Lord's blessings are more than enough for us. So let us begin by looking at the first comforting truth, which is the Lord is good to us. And this is implied right at the beginning of this verse 5, which says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You know, the 23rd Psalm began with the shepherd and the sheep metaphor. And here you see that the metaphor changes because the psalmist now sees himself more like a weary traveler who is in great need of hospitality. And here you see the Lord being portrayed as a kind, hospitable host. And he prepares a table that is full of refreshments for this weary traveler. The Lord anoints the head of this weary traveler with refreshing oil, and that oil has the effect of soothing him and also cleansing him. And then as the weary traveler is about to sit at the table that has been prepared and enjoy the sumptuous meal, the host fills his cup until it overflows, right? So why is this particular detail highlighted by the psalmist? It is not to show that the host is careless. You know, sometimes when we fill a cup, we accidentally pour too much and then some of the fluid just spills out onto the table. But this is not what the psalmist means when he says, "My cup runneth over." You see, here the meaning is that the host is very generous and he does not stinge on the good things which he can give to this weary traveler. He, in fact, goes all out to meet his needs. He shows every possible kindness to him, and his hospitality exceeds all others. And you know, this kindness is not extended to the psalmist just for a day or two, but actually to all the days of his life. As the next verse, verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now, I'm sure that we all know that there is only one whose goodness or kindness can last all the days of our life. Do you know that as a child of God, you are the most blessed creature in the entire world? You have a Heavenly Father who is good toward you. You have a provider of good things who will not withhold any good thing to ensure that your needs are met. And this brings us now to look at the second comforting truth that is found in the four words, "My cup runneth over," and that is the truth that the Lord provides what we need. You know, in the 23rd Psalm, our needs are portrayed in this verse as an empty cup that needs to be filled and filled with water, right? So our needs are like a cup that has to be filled with water, and I think that there is no simpler illustration of human need than thinking of a cup that needs to be filled with water. Now, we all know that water is the most important nutrient for the human body. In fact, 70% of our body is water. And a person can, you know, go on living for more than a month without eating any food. But no one can survive for more than a few days without drinking any water. And water was actually one of the most precious commodities in Israel. You know, Israel is in a Mediterranean climate, which is semi-arid, where there are only two rainy seasons a year. And there's a period of about 6 months between April and October where there's little or even no rain throughout the year. Right, I mean throughout the 6 months. And the Bible records that once, during the time of Elijah, that period where there was no rain extended to 3.5 years. And you know, without rain, there's no water to water the crops. The crops cannot grow. And the animals have no grass to eat. And so there's no food for the people of Israel. And that would bring famine and death. And because of this, water then becomes a symbol of light. And therefore, you can say that when someone gives you a cup of water, he's actually giving you a cup of light. And you can see, for instance, in Mark chapter 9, verse 41, where the Lord said, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Right? So that's how precious a cup of water can be. And therefore, the words, "my cup overflows," speaks of the abundant life which we now have in Christ. But water is also used in the Bible, not only as a symbol of life, but it is also used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And you can see that our Lord himself using this in John chapter 7, where he says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." And all Christians can experience the blessings of being filled with the Spirit, being filled with this rivers of living water. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be refreshed. Inwardly, your soul will be refreshed. Jesus says that rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being like a fountain, and it'll make you want to abound with praise, with psalms, with hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? That's the effect of being filled with the Spirit, according to Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. So, dearly beloved, whenever you feel the need to be refreshed spiritually, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will quench that thirst in your soul. He'll quench it deeply, even in the most difficult moments of your life. And this is because his supply is an overflowing supply. And this brings us now to look at the third and final comforting truth that we can find in the four words, "My cup runneth over." It is the truth that the Lord's blessings are more than enough. And this has been testified by God's people throughout the ages. And even in the times of the Bible, they have always found that God's blessings are more than enough for them. For instance, when Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 with only 5 loaves and only 2 fishes, now after everyone had already eaten until they were full, 12 baskets of leftovers were collected. On another occasion, we see that Jesus fed a crowd of 4,000, this time with 7 loaves and just a few small fishes. And then there were again 7 baskets of leftovers collected after everybody had eaten. And so we see that the Lord actually gave them more than enough to feed all of them. Their cup overflowed. Now, in another instance, where an overflowing supply of blessings from Jesus was experienced, can be found in Luke chapter 5, right? And this time it was the disciples of Christ. They were all fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And after toiling all night to catch fish, the disciples caught nothing, right? What a disappointment. And then early in the morning, the disciples were told by Jesus to go and launch out into the deep and let down their nets. And this time, they did not just get a good catch of fish, but they got a net-breaking, boat-sinking load of fish, right? So you see that the Lord gave them more than enough. And we can say that the cup of the disciples really overflowed. And so we have seen from this verse that God is good, that God provides for our needs, and that his blessings are often more than enough. So what then has all this got to do with us? Well, dearly beloved, do you know that we who have been saved have received more than enough from God? This is true of every child of God. Your cup overflows. Now, some people may think that they will only have more than enough if they have great riches or an endless supply of money. But what do we have? We don't have these things, right? But we have many things that money cannot buy. So let us look at exactly what we have if we are in Christ. We have exceeding great and precious promises from God, right? And all these promises have been written in His Word, written in black and white for us to read and to claim, right? As what God has given to us. Secondly, we have peace in our soul, right? And this is a peace that passes all understanding, the peace that the world cannot give. Thirdly, we have forgiveness of all our sins. And that is really precious because nobody can forgive our sins like this. Only the Lord can forgive our sins and remove all our guilt away, right? Fourthly, we have eternal life. And I don't think that anything at all in this life can ever beat this blessing of eternal life. And not just eternal life, but eternal life in a glorious home in heaven, where there's, no pain, no sorrow, no tears. God shall wipe away all tears, as the book of Revelation chapter 7 says. There's nothing that can ever beat this, the blessings that we have in Christ. And not only that, right now we're coming for the prayer meeting and we become aware that we have instant access to God through prayer, right? And so that is really a very precious privilege. In other words, I'm saying that all these things we have are really priceless treasures. And the best treasure that we have is Christ Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ with you, as He Himself said, in verse 4. As the psalmist himself said in verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we see that, despite our present circumstances and despite what is happening in the world today, that's creating a lot of fear and anxiety and uncertainty, we can be thankful that we have so much blessings, so much grace that we have received from the God, from our Lord. Can you see that your cup overflows? Well, how then should you respond to this? Firstly, we ought to be very thankful to God for all the abundant blessings. And I think that very often we forget, to be as thankful to God as we ought to be for all that He has given to us in Christ. If you have received so much from God, and if you have experienced all the goodness from God in your life, surely the least that you should do is to give thanks to Him, not just once or twice, but often, on a daily basis, hour by hour, to give thanks to Him. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just last week, you may remember that Americans celebrated Thanksgiving. That was last Thursday. Right, and they do it every fourth Thursday of November. And in Thailand, right, the churches in the mountain villages conduct a special service, not on a Sunday, but it's usually done on a Friday or Saturday. It's, a separate time of worship to give thanks to God, especially for a good harvest. And these were photographs that were sent to me by Reverend Niran, right, in North Thailand, because he was asked to come and to give thanks and speak at these special Thanksgiving services. So that's the very first thing that we should do, right? Because our cup overflows, we should give thanks to God for all these abundant blessings. Now, secondly, we ought to make good use of the blessings that we have received from God to bless others. You see, God has a purpose for making your cup overflow. Right? It's not to let the surplus go to waste. Right? That's not the purpose of it. He allows your cup to overflow so that, you have more than you need And you do not have to keep all the surplus. You can actually share it with others. So let that surplus become a blessing to the lives of others. Let whatever overflows from your cup be a source of joy and satisfaction to others. You know, every year at Christmas Eve, we always have the opportunity to be a blessing to others. And that's because the offering that is collected on this day, right, Christmas Eve, will be designated to help the poor, the needy, and the underprivileged. Right. So this year, we're going to do the same thing again. Right. We have two services, one in the morning, one in the night. And, you know, the offering collected at these services will be designated for the poor, needy, and underprivileged. So let us all come prepared to share our blessings with others. And may Lord help all of us to abound in thanksgiving to God and also in blessing the lives of others, even as the Lord abounds in blessing our lives. And we say, my cup overflows. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee, Lord, for what we have learned today, that because thou art our good shepherd and thou art our kind host, thou would even spread a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Yet, O Lord, thou would even pour abundantly thy blessings into our lives until our cup overflows. Lord, we can never thank thee enough when we count all the many blessings, not just material blessings, but spiritual blessings, which are even more wonderful and more precious. And so, Lord, we give thanks to thee for all that thou hast blessed us with. And we also pray, Lord, that you will help us to make use of these blessings to be a blessing to others, to share the surplus that we have to bring joy and satisfaction to others, and especially during this Christmas season, to bring the joy of knowing Christ to our friends and our loved ones. And so, Lord, may this be a season of giving, a season of sharing your love and your joy with the people around us. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.